Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 49. We'll read the passage in its context, but verse 49 tells you about the sons of Saul. And today, like I said, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit technical, but the purpose of this is just to give you an indication of the need to be able to handle a concordance, to be able to read plenty of Bible, and to be aware of some things that are recorded in the Bible in a variety of ways, and also to not become critical when you see the things that you're going to see today. 1 Samuel chapter 14, let's begin reading with verse 47. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines. And whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites, and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. Now, here's our verse. The sons of Saul were Jonathan, and Ishui, and Malchishua. And the names of his two daughters were these: the name of the firstborn, Merab; the name of the younger, Michael. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner the father of Abner, and the son of Abiel, or Abiel. And there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or valiant man, he took him unto him. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, we're seeing kind of a high ranking of the people that are associated with Saul. In other words, we've got the captain of the host and some family members and some children. And in verse 49, he says, now the sons of Saul were, and he names them, Jonathan, Ishui, Malchishua. These are not all the sons of Saul. And the Bible doesn't say why another son, or actually sons, were named. You can draw some conclusions, and we may do that. Nevertheless, these are the ones that are named here, and you might be led to believe, if you were not reading your Bible through on a fairly regular basis, you might be led to believe that these are all that there are, and then when you come across other passages, you might not remember that in fact there are other children, and that in reality there is a conflict, or an apparent conflict, in other lists of genealogies. Now, the reason for this little study, it just happens to show up at this point, but it's to emphasize something. Every once in a while, you'll find a genealogy, and there'll be some differences in it, and that leads to criticism about the Bible and speculation as to the reasons why there are differences. You and I are better off to simply believe what the Bible says and notice these apparent differences and make note of them and avoid things like speculation, and certainly avoid things like criticism. Because what happens with speculation is that you begin to guess and your mind begins to run along a line that may not be something the Holy Spirit is trying to show you. And before you know it, what you're saying now becomes the reality rather than what the Bible said. For instance, have you ever heard anybody talk about Saul? I'm talking about the one in the New Testament that later was named Paul. On his way to Damascus, I have, and you know, one time years ago when I just began to preach, I hadn't even been to Bible college, and I began to preach and to teach, I was making mention of the episode of Saul on the road to Damascus, and I said, when that bright light shone, Saul got knocked off his horse, and then he had a conversation with the Lord. Well, when you go back and read the passage, and you read Saul's testimony, now that he's Paul and he's giving defense of his preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't find any mention of the horse. He may have been riding a horse. He may have been walking. Nevertheless, getting knocked off the horse now becomes the reality because it's repeated over and over again when there's no scriptural account of whether he's riding a horse or not. You don't know about his transportation. Do you understand? And so that speculation or that added comment can be given in other passages of Scripture, and the next thing you know, the account no longer is what's related, but rather the thing that's said about the account. All right, that's enough said on that. You understand what we're talking about here. And all we simply see is that Saul, in this passage of Scripture, has three sons who are named that are mentioned: Jonathan, Ishui, and Melchishua. All right? Now, when you go down the list of names, and then you go to other places in the Bible, keep in mind what you've just read, and let's jump ahead now to 1 Samuel chapter 31. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, the boys that are with Saul in battle end up dead by the Philistines, and they're named again. But notice the difference. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 1, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons." All right, now interestingly, there is a difference. There is a little bit of a difference in the name of one of those boys, and a little bit of difference in the spelling of another one's name. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 49, Melchishua's name is spelled with an E. And in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 2, his name is spelled with an A. And you might be asking yourself the question, why is there a difference? And there could be several reasons. My name is spelled W-E-L-D-E-R, welder. But when my ancestors came from Germany, the name was spelled W-E-L-T-E-R, welter. Okay? A minor change. In the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar's name is, I'm not going to spell it for you, Nebuchadnezzar. I decided to do it just so you'd know I could. But anyway, he's called Nebuchadnezzar in certain places. In other places, his name is recorded Nebuchadrezzar, and the N is changed to an R. That's not an uncommon thing. And it could be sometimes the way the scribe is used to spelling the name. In other words, there's no change per se. Or in this case, in Hebrew, you've got radicals, which are like consonants, and you have vowel points that the Masoretes used, but you don't have vowels. And so those names could come out Malchishua or Melchishua, and it would be the same name. All right, another thing that you notice in the comparison of the two lists is you've got Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua. And in the first list, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 49, you've got Jonathan, Ishui, and Malchishua. You say, boy, there is just a complete change in the name, Ishui, to Abinadab. It's the same person. It's the same person. I actually have four names. Three, I have two, if you want to call it, one first name, two middle names, and a last name. And I go by my first middle name, Bevins, which actually was, years and generations ago, a last name that is Welsh, that is a contrived name from the word Evans. Evans, E-V-A-N-S, the son of Evans, is Bevins. In Scotland, for instance, Donald, the son of Donald, is MacDonald. That kind of thing. All right, so Abinadab, Ishui, same guy. But that's not all. Go with me now to 1 Chronicles chapter 8 and verse 33. 1 Chronicles is the line. All these, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All these genealogies. It's a very hard place in the Bible to read. But there are some interesting things in here. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 8, let's look at verse 33 because we find the genealogy of Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 33, and Ner begat Kish, and Kish begat Saul, and Saul begat Jonathan and Malchishua. Notice it's spelled with the A again, but now he's listed second. And Abinadab, who was listed second in 1 Samuel chapter 31, now listed third, and goes by the name he's given in 1 Samuel chapter 31, Abinadab, as opposed to Ishui. Okay? Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and now look, a fourth son, Eshbaal. Eshbaal. So actually, he's listing now four children to Saul. Four boys, not just total children, because he's got the two daughters, Merab and Michal, spelled M-I-C-H-A-L. All right, so there's four boys now. And if you read a little bit further, go on to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 9, and look at verse 39, you notice that the list is given again. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 39, Ner begat Kish, and Kish begat Saul, and Saul begat Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, we're used to seeing those names, and Eshbaal. There he is again. So the list shows up twice with the addition of this fourth boy, Eshbaal. All right? Now, that's kind of interesting, this Eshbaal, that B-A-A-L. That thing has a connection, if you know, to the word Baal, like the false god. That's a tough situation. And you know, in one of our most recent lessons, we showed Saul building an altar and sacrificing of the spoil that was gained in the battle against the Philistines. And that altar was the first altar that he built. You know what you're seeing? It evidently is the introduction of Baal worship into this society, into Israel, after Saul becomes the king. It's subtle at first. It becomes very obvious by the time that Jeroboam takes the throne after the death of Saul. It becomes very obvious during the time of not Saul, but Solomon, and during the time of Solomon when he starts worshiping the false gods of the wives that he marries. Notice also that Jonathan's son is named. This is Mephibosheth, but here he is called Meribel. And Meribel begat Micah. Notice the addition of the Baal at the end of that thing. That's Mephibosheth there. Interesting, just kind of an interesting note. Okay, now, we see then that there are actually not just three boys, but four. Evidently, one of those boys was not with him in war and was therefore not killed by the Philistines in the battle. The ones that were killed by the Philistines are found in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. The Philistines fought against Israel. The men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. So if they kill all those boys, then Eshbaal is not with them. Okay? Eshbaal is not there. Okay, so then interestingly enough, we have something that takes place right after the death of Saul and those three other boys. And that is an attempt by Abner, who is the captain of his host, which would be like the senior commanding officer of the military, to put that other boy, Eshbaal, on the throne. Go back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 2 and look at verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and look at verse 8. All right. Let's get into the context a little bit. Pick it up beginning with verse 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 2. It came to pass after this, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" He said, "Go up to Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, as men that were with him, did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah, and they told David, and so forth. Now watch. So David then is made king after the death of Saul over the house of Judah in Hebron, according to the direction of the Lord God. But in verse 8, notice what happens. Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Maanaim. Now, Ishbosheth, who is that? Well, it turns out that Ishbosheth and Eshbaal are the same boy, like Mephibosheth and Meribbaal. Do you see, Mephibosheth was his name, but then it was changed to Meribbaal. Ishbosheth was this boy's name, and it was changed to Eshbaal. Evidently, and I told you, you know, we need to avoid speculation, but that Baal, that addition there, is very common when you've got men that are involved in Baal worship along the way. All right, Abner the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, 2 Samuel 2:8, took Ishbosheth the son of Saul and brought him over to Maanaim and made him king over Gilead and over the Asherites and over Jezreel and over Ephraim and over Benjamin and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel and reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. All right, so what's going on here then? There is a fourth boy, and that fourth son has two names, just like Ishuai is also called Abinadab, and his name is Ishbosheth, and in the genealogies of 1 Chronicles, he is also called Eshbaal. And Ishbosheth is 40 years old when he begins to reign. Okay, well, we can calculate from here. Saul has just died. Saul reigned 40 years over Israel until he died at the hand of the Philistines in a battle. That means that Ishbosheth was born when Saul became king of Israel. If you'll go back and look in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and 13, all of those events happen about the same time. That's in the second year of Saul's reign over Israel. And so after the big battle with the Philistines, where God intervenes and a bunch of Philistines are slain, there are more battles, and Saul is taking this kingdom over Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 47, and fighting against his enemies on every side. So it's like in the next 2 or 3 years, a lot of this is happening. Well, Ishbosheth by this time is 5 or 6 years old. In essence, then, it's no wonder that he's not listed with the other boys that are mentioned there, because he's not very old. That's not necessarily the reason that he's not listed, but You know, obviously he wouldn't be fighting with these. He's just a little kid. But by the time that Saul dies, he's old enough now, 40 years old, of course, to take the throne. And so Abner makes him the king. So now we've got four boys: Jonathan, Ishui or Abinadab, Melchishua, and Ishbosheth or Eshbaal. And interestingly enough, if anyone ever asks you who the second king was over Israel, don't answer David. Because David was the second king. Eventually, we say the second king, eventually, actually, David was the third king. Because, and when we say eventually, Saul is the king God chose. David is the king God chose, and therefore he's the second king. But the person who actually ruled over Israel for 2 years was a man that was put on the throne by Abner. You got it? So the real, or the second king of Israel by another man's choice was a fellow named Ishbosheth. It's kind of a tricky question. You could actually fool your Sunday school class and say, hey, who was the second king over Israel? And they'll say David and, you know, some other things like that. And you could show them this passage here in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10 and show them, well, actually, Ishbosheth was. But he wasn't put there by God. He was put there by Abner. All right, just a little bit more. And notice a couple of other things here. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and look at verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and look at verse 8. We'll read into the context a little bit here. 2 Samuel 21, there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it's for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. Well, the Gibeonites had a covenant with Joshua and with Israel when Israel came into the land of Canaan and conquered it. And Saul violated that covenant and killed those men of Gibeon. So in verse 2, the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn to them, and Saul sought to slay them in a zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said, we're not going to have silver or gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither of us. Shalt thou kill any man in Israel? And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I'll give them. So now they got to get 7 sons of Saul, offspring of Saul, to satisfy the Gibeonites and to atone for Saul's transgression and to make this famine go away. Well, the king, verse 7, spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So all that leaves then are children that are born to the daughters. Or is that right? Read a little further. The king took the two sons of Rizpah, R-I-Z-P-A-H, the daughter of Aya, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and there fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. You know what? Saul had even 2 more sons that were not listed in the Chronicles, and that were not listed in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Their names were Armoni and Mephibosheth, and they were the king's sons by a woman named Rizpah, who was the daughter of Ai, kind of like a concubine. So see, you cannot jump to the conclusion too quickly on the genealogies just because you've seen some names in one passage. Summarizing everything we've done today, and like I said, it's just a little bit different kind of a lesson. Doesn't have any deep spiritual things involved in it. It's got a little tricky question that you can ask your Sunday school class about the second king of Israel, who turns out to be Ish-bosheth, even though he was put on the throne by Abner and not by the Lord. And it includes these interesting name developments that you see as you read through the Bible. The sons of Saul, then, are Jonathan, Ishui, also known as Abinadab, Melchishua, also known as Malchishua, and Ishbosheth, also known as Eshbaal, and two sons by a woman named Rizpah, are Moni and Mephibosheth. And then you have the whole picture. And hopefully getting something like this sorted out will help you a little bit as you go through that Old Testament Bible reading to understand a little bit more about what the Lord has in there for you. Don't criticize it, and don't frustrate yourself, and don't over-speculate the cause. Just read and believe, and may God help you as you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.